Our present meditation is on the worship of God, our greatest privilege on earth, to worship God with our wills. We saw last night our primary duty is to recognize the existence of God, honor Him, obey Him, and thus save our souls. However, cannot be saved without God's grace. And the principal source of that grace is prayer. We could talk for 8 days on the subject of prayer, but I summarize it under the word worship. We are privileged to serve God with our bodies. We are to worship God with our minds. But we are especially to worship God with our wills. Then I have 5 ways in which we are to serve God with our wills. The meditation will be on each one of these 5 ways. We are to worship God with our wills. First, by our desires. Secondly, strangely, by our fears. We are to worship God by our choices. We are to worship God by our sacrifices. And finally, and most fundamentally, we are to serve God and worship Him by our love. Now, first of all, to worship God by our desires. This worship of God is primary. Either we serve God with our desires, all the talk about being a faithful and loyal Catholic is so much verbiage. Before we go on with the subject of worshiping God with our desires, we should make clear that we desire with our wills. And our wills pertain to every way that we can use our free wills to worship God. God wants us to master every power we have on earth. And the most fundamental, basic to everything else, is to worship God with our free will. I doubt if there's another word in any language more widely abused than the word freedom. We have a free will. We also have a fallen will. Our wills, since the sin of our first parents, to say the least, are not spontaneously responsive to the will of God. By definition, our wills are not coerced, not compelled. It also means that our wills are, depending on who we are, desperately weakened. Weakened by our commission of sin. The weakness of our human nature, which we inherit when we are born, having become educated, our wills are further weakened, and everything we desire, what a safe statement, that everything we desire is pleasing to God. We have all kinds of desires. You name them, and we have them. Some desires we are to follow, and some desires, but it's my desire. I am to resist. We are to honor and serve God, and He wants us to. We must look and see before we follow our natural impulses. With all kinds of desires, as your mothers know, a child, believe me, has spontaneous, natural, call them desires before it is born. Whatever else we do during these 2 short days of the retreat, we should look into our souls and ask ourselves, which of the impulses, which of the desires that we have are pleasing to God? And if it's pleasing to God, we should encourage those desires and follow it. If the desire is my desire, am I not master of my desires? Not quite. All my desires are mine. But not all of my desires are pleasing to God. If a desire we have is pleasing to God, then we follow it. Not pleasing to Him, then we now do not follow. We do everything in our power to master, control, if need be, resist those desires. What are some of the desires that we all naturally have? We all desire to be healthy. I was in the judgment novitiate for 1 month. And ended up in the hospital with a major surgery. I thought they would throw me out. They kept me. And it's just sheer honesty. Recognize what is the state of our health and desire health of body by a person already has acquired certain diseases, certain sicknesses, certain weaknesses which may have come already at birth. And you don't get angry with God, angry with yourself, or angry with others, because you don't have that mastery of your health, which you would, to use the verb again, desire. We don't all have the same degree of acceptance by others. Some people accept us, some don't. And the hardest thing in life for a married woman is not to be as accepted as she would want to be by her husband and children, her friends and neighbors. Oh, how important this is. We all desire to have a long life. Some lives, as we know, are naturally much shorter than others. And once we find out what the state of our health is, shall I say we resign ourselves to living a shorter life than we had hoped to. God is master of the length of our lives. We desire possessions, not just money, property, strength of will, working a good job. But we are to follow only those desires which are pleasing to God. And we are to follow them. We are to worship God with our desires. A priest for 52 years. I've dealt by now with thousands of people. No two people are the same. And what we should do, especially during retreat, look deeply into our hearts and face the facts of life. We have, every one of us, strong desires. But God is master of those desires. By what is God's will in your life? Does more evidence God wants you to live a long life? He wants to live only a shorter life. I want you to live in, how shall I call it? A well-to-do atmosphere. All the money you need. And more than you need. I've given too many retreats. I mean this. To multimillionaires. And told them, your primary duty in life is to become indifferent to your wealth. We go on. Our second reflection, we are to worship God by our fears. What a strange statement. What can it possibly mean to worship God with our fears? To worship God with our fears means that we avoid, we shun, we walk away, even run away spontaneously from those persons, places and things in our lives that displease us. Notice what I'm saying. Our spontaneous inclination is to avoid what we don't like. Let me tell you, it's not as obvious as may seem. our problem. It's a problem. There are many things we naturally dislike. And as far as possible, you walk away, even run away from those things that we don't like. The secret during this retreat is seriously ask God, am I running away from something that God wants me to have? There are many things that we naturally and maybe even intensely like, but that God we worship does not want us to have. So we must control our fears. We're going to worship God according to His will. Oh, the mystery of human life. And no two of us in this matter are identical. We go one step further. There are things that God does not want. They are clearly contrary to His divine will. Either for anyone who is envious or jealous or lazy or for a person who, as far as we can tell, is not just envious in general, but envious of us. Never forget the class in algebra in high school. Forgot what grade I got. For a quiz that the professor administered. Got our papers back. The man sitting behind me said, I believe I'll be more successful to you. You're one of those smart guys. Every time someone else succeeds and we fail, there is, I repeat, a natural dislike that arises in our wills. Oh, how much there is to learn here. We are not to follow the example of others. God has made us as individuals. Each of us has his or her own free will. Some people are to work harder than others. Ask yourself during this retreat whether you are lazy and how you are lazy. Let me tell you, I've taught too many people not know that many persons are naturally, spontaneously lazy while doing certain things. Are we to worship God in these cases? By not avoiding what we don't like. Before the retreat is over, find out what things you naturally, spontaneously avoid. Find out what is God's will in your life. And no two of us are living the same life. How then do we worship God? Depending on our personality. Simple. By being afraid to offend God, by fearing to displease Him, and by now we should all know how we can displease God. This is so true that sacred scripture tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Either we know what we are to fear God in, or we still have to learn the ABCs of the spiritual life. We go on. We are to worship God by our choices. This, I can say honestly, is the heart of our spiritual life. Worshipping God with our wills by the choices we make. I am counseling a married couple in Detroit. The husband just withdrew all the resources he would make from his wife. She would spend way beyond his capacity to earn. God gave us a free will, and the most important reason we have a free will is to make wise, underline that word wise, choices. God gave us a free will so we might choose to do what pleases Him and choose not to do what displeases Him. Now let me tell you, you've said last night, we don't have a spontaneously holy will. We can so easily say we've got a fallen human nature. How true. Well, that fallen human nature includes especially a fallen, or I prefer to say a falling human will. The deepest mystery in this world, there is none deeper. Why God gave us a free will. The reason, faith tells us, is they might choose to do what pleases God and do not choose what would displease Him. How easy it is for me to use those words. Do what pleases God and not do what displeases Him. But, my dear friends in Christ, we better know clearly what pleases, what does not please God in our lives. Now repeat what I've just been saying. Just because something is pleasant or attractive or nice to ourselves is no guarantee it is pleasing to God. This covers everything in our life. First of all, our days and our nights. In America, I can say this. Millions of Americans don't know what to do And the man comes home from work. There is so much, as the expression goes, time-saving machinery. We save time. What for? To read cheap novels? To watch TV? To engage in hours of city conversation over the telephone? Our work and our leisure. The United States is written about in volume after volume of other countries. The United States is the laziest nation they write and they teach in the world. Work. Our life of cynics' definition of work. Work is that which we would rather not be doing. We could be doing something else. Part of our life is to work, to labor, to exert ourselves, to get tired. Our eating, and correspondingly, or abstaining from food. And you women, most of you I think, do the cooking. Wives and mothers have told me, Father, the hardest thing for me is to control my appetite while I'm cooking the meal. I hardly feel hungry when I sit down to a meal. What do I cook? How much time do I spend in cook? Our eating, abstaining from food. It's years now. And with God's grace, I've decided never to eat outside of the regularly served meals. Our speaking, oh, how important this is. Whatever you do during this retreat, in God's name, examine your conscience. How much talking you're doing, when you're talking, when you're keeping silent. Be calm. Thank you. First, most people do more talking than they should. Most people do not plan what they say, especially their conversations. Most people are not selective in whom they talk with. The less still, what they talk about. If you make only one resolution during this retreat, to control your speech, will have been a very successful spiritual exercise. The world in which we live encourages talking and more talking and still more talking. We are to watch our imagination and our impulses, that everything which enters our soul enters the mind as in the imagination, and our nation shall I see as being nourished. In feeding, shall I say, stuffing the imagination. Most of the books published in the United States are novels. Wild imagination. Is it any wonder that so many Americans are out of contact with reality? Their minds are being fed on their imagination. We are still asking ourselves what our self-control requires. Controlling our interior movements of the soul. Was an interior movement. An interior movement of the soul which rises instantaneously, spontaneously, when we eat, hear, or see something or someone. St. Ignatius, in the first years of our training, told us, in God's name, do not allow yourself to be seduced by things that are pleasant, but either wasting time for you or become temptations of sin. Oh, this should be said. This covers worship of God by our choices. It covers our solitude and our dealings with others. Once more, make even just one decision during this retreat. You will make sure you will spend time every day in, call it solitude, in silence, be alone with God, not engaging with maybe animated conversation with other people. And as we know, people differ immensely. One of the main differences is some of you like to talk a lot. And then what do? Call humility. We patiently listen to them. There is prudent patience. There is imprudent patience. We are talking about pleasing God. And the most important gift after His grace that God gives us is our time. Oh, the time, dear Lord, the time we can waste in engaging what is useless for the soul, irritates our body, stimulates our imagination, but has zero, nothing to do with our lives. In a word, everything in our lives, inside of us and outside of us, which affects our free will, is meant by God to be the. How about a line of the word the? Means of worshiping God. I think I should say it. In God's Mercy, I have published over 40 volumes. You don't publish even a single article, not to say a book. The mastery of your time. Thousands of hours spent in writing. And I see to all of you, ask yourselves, how much writing have I done? Writing of two kinds. Writing for myself. Recollection of experiences that I want to remember. Writing also for others. I could stimulate, I don't see a dozen of you, even two or three, have not been writing for publication in God's name, yet going. So much of the writing done in our country is done, I mean this, by fools, by idiots, out of control, have nothing to do with the important things in life. We have the faith. We are to share with others the faith we profess. And among the means of sharing is to write. I'll never forget the Jesuit I had in first year theology. Million man, I told him to start writing. Thank you for the compliment. Did nothing about it. Kept after him. Shall I say I bugged him? I began to write. I know he has published over 30 volumes. His writings now are read by millions. Some of his books circulate in the millions per title. I said it before, and I'll repeat it. We are all naturally lazy, otherwise known as indolent. It takes work to write. Period. Write. Exclamation mark. For as I can, I'll help you. Come to think of it, that is why God made us rational creatures and gave us certain education, certain experiences that no one else has had. God wants you to capitalize what He has given you. The sun, moon, and stars worship God necessarily. They must do what they are doing. In this way, they are glorifying God. The same can be said of the trees, the ground we walk on, the rain that falls, doing God's will. But we are not water or stone or the air or fish or birds or creeping things. I'm seeing far more than the word may seem to imply. We are human beings with free wills, and that at the heart of our humanity is what makes us human beings. We have a free will. We can and we must choose to do what we do, and in everything we do, we must worship God.